Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Here at WBOC Radio, we're committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism, and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. And this season, I've been laying a fundamental teaching from the Word of God, and I've been establishing a foundation for those of you who've been lost. All right, so next season, beginning January 7, 2019, we'll be in the new studio for those of you watching on Facebook and YouTube, and you see this light glaring on me. I'm just trying to brighten it up a little bit, but we'll be in the new studio starting next year, and I'm very excited. I'll begin a new teaching from my latest book, Mystery of the Ketubah. All right, so I do apologize for the bad, if anything is bad, trying to see it, but please stick with us. It's about the message. It's not about the delivery. All right, so in addition to this, I'm personally here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me here at WBOC Radio, you can call 515-602-9613 live during the show, or leave a message at 931-563-3377 and email us at talk@wbocradio.org with questions you'd like answered on the broadcast or topics you'd like for me to address. You can also write to us here at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast with questions or comments right now, today, during the show, the number is 515-602-9613. Again, that is 515-602-9613. All right, so write that number down for future broadcasts as well. That's the number you can always call in at. You can also read my blog, get copies of my books, or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org, and you can like us on Facebook at wbocradio.org as well. So where the podcasts are posted immediately after the show and they're live, that's facebook.com. And then you put the /wbocradio.org. And don't forget to put in the .org. You can also like us on Instagram and follow us there, and on Twitter at wbocradio. For those of you watching live on Facebook and YouTube, thank you for tuning in. I see that my daughters tune in today, so I'm going to give a shout out to Brooke. And a shout out to Crystal. If you missed any part of the show, you can go back and watch the broadcast in its entirety at wbocradio.org. And we found that there are numerous listeners from all over the world who are unable to call into the broadcast with their questions and comments. So Facebook and YouTube have allowed me to connect with those listeners during the show. So periodically, I'll be shouting out to different countries. So if you're listening now, don't forget to let me know where you're from when you add your comments. I want to hear from you, but I also want to know where you're calling from or where you're checking in from. All right, so when this series ends next Wednesday, I'll be closing the season with a special Christmas episode for the end of the year. I'll be off the air until Monday, January 7, 2019, where I'll begin a new season with the Mystery of the Ketubah. I've been talking about that and sharing it with you now for months, but if you don't understand what the Ketubah is, that's the whole purpose in this. It's to enlighten you and share with you exactly not just what a Ketubah is, but what it means and what it means to us and how Jesus actually spoke about these things and our Ketubah without us even knowing about it, because we're not Jewish. And even if we are Jewish, we don't really understand the roots of Christianity and how this pertains to us today from the old covenant to the new covenant. I want to explain all that to you, and I'm very excited about getting started in that teaching. But I hate to say it, that right now I'm even more excited about getting into the new studio and getting it set up. So this promises to be an enlightening teaching, and you will receive if you're not aware of who you are as a bride of Christ, and all of that, what it entails, you're about to be enlightened and be pleasantly surprised. So when we read the Word of God through the eyes of the bride, the mystery of the Word can be understood by anyone. So So you don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the Word of God when you've been equipped with the true identity of the church. So you won't want to miss this teaching. All right, so the website, wbocradio.org, will have updated information on these dates along with the studies and the blogs to follow along, so stay tuned. There are many more resources for you to access, and I'm adding to this daily, so check us out at wbocradio.org, and don't forget to sign up for the updates. All right, I promise I won't blow up your email. I'll just keep you up to date once in a while on what's going on and if there's anything important you may need to be aware of that may affect you as a Christian. So, for example, right now, I shouldn't tell you this, that I'm going to, Benjamin Netanyahu is live on Facebook right now, but I had to cut him off so that I can come on here and do the show. I support Israel with all my heart. They are the legitimate nation that God has established in the land of Israel and on that property. I'm not here to bash the Palestinian people who are living there or the people who call themselves Palestinians. I simply want to make sure that there is no more incidents that's going to happen or things that are going on right now in the United States that are anti-Semitic. I want to make sure that my voice is here so that I can speak out against these things. And next year, the show is going to be completely different and we're going to revamp everything. Even though I am laying this foundational teaching right now, I really want to make sure you understand why we're here. That's not just to support the legitimate nation of Israel, but it's also to get the word of God out there, lay a foundation for your salvation and for you to understand exactly where it is that I'm coming from. So don't miss Israel on the Street coming September 2019. All right, so for more information, visit our website and click on the Fellowship tab at the top. This is my next scheduled trip to Israel, so you'll get to enjoy Israel up close and personal, learn about the culture, and meet the people while still visiting the holy sites. It's an exciting trip. I can't wait to share it with you. There's much more resources on the website at wbocradio.org that you can benefit from if you'll get on there and check us out. You'll also get to see the pictures of trips that's been in the earlier trips that we've taken in the past. So make sure that you check out those pictures and you can see more in depth of what's actually happening on the street in Israel. So maybe you or someone you know is seeking answers to questions about your salvation, or you've had doubt about the Word of God. Perhaps you're not sure God still cares about you, or you're wondering if, you know, He even exists at all. Then please stay tuned in for my upcoming series. All right, for an in-depth look into these questions, though, please get a copy of my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. I've given this book to lost souls all over the world, from prisons to nursing homes. All right, it's full of these very questions which keep many people from having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can listen to the audiobook on iTunes or on Audible. You can also read a copy from Kindle or Nook, or order your own copy from BachPublishing.com. Also, starting in season two, I'll be in the new studio, like I said. And again, if you want to be part of the broadcast today, you'll just have, or if you just have questions you'd like answered, give me a call at 515-602-9613. Or if you're watching our live feed on Facebook or YouTube, then you could type your questions in the comments feed and tell me your name and the country along with your question. And I'll try to answer as many as I can and still stick to the topic today. All right, I do want to make sure that this series is presented to you in its entirety. We're in episode 8 today of the 10-part series from Gifts of the Spirit. And in this episode, we're talking about the gifts of the Word of Knowledge. All right, so just a reminder, I've shared with you this each time, that spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God for the accomplishment of God's purpose in the world and for the edification of the church and the body of Christ. All right, that's the edification of the church, which is the body of Christ. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:6-11 is what we've been teaching from, and I've been sharing that with you each time in the beginning of each one of these episodes, but there's also numerous other scriptures that I'll be sharing with you and stories and things that pertain to the subject today. So 1 Corinthians 12:6-11 says, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So notice it says the word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. If you're watching on Facebook right now, make sure you invite your friends and family to watch the video before we get any further into the study. I don't want them to miss out, of course. And I want to make sure that I can get this message to as many people as I can, because that's why I've been called here and that's what I'm doing. I'm not wasting my time. Again, let's go back and look. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 through 11 that I just read. Notice that it says that by the Spirit, and each one of these says by the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, so to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I'm not making this up. I'm actually reading these words by the same Spirit. Again, each one of the gifts are given by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, we call him. We call him the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God, and he is the gift giver. So if we're seeking after these, and I haven't talked much about this in the past episodes, but I want you to understand that if you've been seeking any of these gifts or searching them out, you're searching after the wrong thing. You need to be seeking after the Holy Spirit, and he's going to endow you with the power and the gifts that you need to accomplish his purpose. So if you're not operating in these gifts, then you need to reevaluate what you're doing right now. It's not, now please forgive me, it's not that every person is given all the gifts of the Spirit. But what I'm trying to say is that you do not need to be seeking after the gifts of the Spirit. You need to be seeking after the Lord. You need to be pressing into him. And the best way to do that is not to focus on anything, any of these things at all, but to focus on your heart condition and where you are right now. Because if you're focusing on your heart, he is the one who judges our hearts, and he understands our hearts, and he knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So what I'm trying to tell you is that if we go into a place of worship where we're only focusing on the Lord, and the only thing that we care about is him and our relationship, then you wouldn't be seeking after these gifts to begin with, but he'll give them to you as he sees that you need them, and as you grow in the Lord in that relationship. It's not about these gifts. It's the best way that I can describe that. So I'm going to give you the definition here, but it's what I wrote this morning. It's not necessarily the definition of this gift. So it says the divine word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation or insight from God given to a person to accomplish the divine will or plan of God that man could not have known himself. Now, here's the issue with this. I'm going to get into this further and let you know that there is no defining word that is spelled out in the Bible / New Covenant, Old Covenant, that tells us exactly what the word of knowledge is, nor does it go into the other ones. But I'm going to explain that here in a little bit. But what I'm trying to tell you right now is that I'm giving you the definition according to how the Holy Spirit operates in me and what the word is telling us. So it's not necessarily the word of God defines it, the gift of the word of knowledge, but it's what he does through it, which is what I'm going to explain. So again, a divine word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation or insight from God given to a person to accomplish the divine will or plan of God that man could not have known himself. Paul said, "We've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." That's 1 Corinthians 2:12. So what is understanding if it's not knowledge? So knowledge and understanding, we're talking about the same thing. This knowledge is given through the Spirit when we are called upon. And remember last week what it says in Luke 21. It says that settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And that's the scripture that I shared with you last week when we were talking about words of wisdom. But remember, the point here that I'm making is that we should not be meditating on what we should say, because it's God that's speaking through us, it's the Holy Spirit who's moving through us, then we don't need to be thinking about anything that we need to say to this person, because it's not us who should be ministering to them, but only that we are a vessel that God is able to use us and speak through. So if you truly want to minister to somebody, then yield to the Holy Spirit. Allow God to move through you. If it's a friend, if it's a family member that you know that doesn't know the Lord, then I urge you to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to move through you so that he can get to these people, so that he can minister to them. Because when the Holy Spirit is resting on you and he's ministering to these individuals, and I assure you, there's nothing that you could possibly say better than what the Holy Spirit could say through you. Amen. I like that. That's good stuff right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. So I heard a man say that the gift of the word of knowledge is an understanding of the things in this world and in our lives that is founded in the gospel and rooted in the scriptures. I'm going to say that again. He said, the word of knowledge is an understanding of the things in this world and in our lives that is founded in the gospel and rooted in the scriptures. He's actually absolutely right. But the word only, I'm only saying that, hear me clearly. That word is only true if the word that you speak, which it should be if it's coming from the Holy Spirit, lines up with the word of God. But actually what he's trying to say is that it's founded in the gospel and rooted in the scriptures, that that word of knowledge, that if you know the scriptures and you share that knowledge with somebody else, that's a word of knowledge. That is not true. That is a false teaching. He's based his conclusion on 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 7, where Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything, sorry, I got lost, I'm reading scripture, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? He said, I thank my God. Now, he's saying that the word of knowledge is an understanding of the things in this world and in our lives that is founded in the gospel. So he's saying that what we've read in the scriptures and in the gospel message is an understanding of the things in the world and in our lives based on the word of God. Okay, that's why I say this is absolutely not true, but yet it is true because we do understand these things. But the word of knowledge is literally spoken to us by the Holy Spirit for the edification of anyone else or even for ourselves, that he speaks to us in order to bring about his divine purpose in our lives or in the lives of others. So pay attention to that, because people who are not operating in the gifts of the Spirit or under the anointing of the Holy Spirit does not understand the word of God the same way, because it says that the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to show us all things and to bring all these things to our remembrance. He's talking to the apostles, but they're the ones that shared these things with us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to minister through us. He ministers today, just like he did in the early church, through us, through these gifts. I know that I may sound desperate when explaining this to you, but I seriously desperately want you to understand this. And I guess it's really hard for you to really conceive this in your mind and to receive it if you're not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm going to read this again. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of the Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see how a person can come to this conclusion, you know, when they're trying to wrap their minds around the gifts of God, when they're not operating in the anointing of the Holy Spirit themselves, right? When God is operating through us, we're not to stop and try to figure it out. This is similar to trying to control him. You know, if we do, we'll quench the Holy Spirit and he'll not be able to use us. The gentleman based his conclusion on the word of God that was given to us in the New Testament, that the grace Paul's speaking of, or the testimony, is the same as the utterance or the knowledge coming from the word. But this man failed to factor in the obvious when he came to this conclusion. Paul was writing a letter to the church in Corinth, and the New Testament was not yet compiled. So he was saying the utterance and the knowledge given to us was given through the New Testament. But yet they didn't even have the New Testament. We didn't have the New Testament yet. So what he's doing is he's reading this word that Paul wrote 2,000 years ago and making the assumption that the gift of knowledge was given through the word. But that makes no sense. In addition, he didn't address the phrase, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. How was it confirmed? Through the Holy Spirit. So when we take this into consideration, we see that all the utterance and all knowledge when speaking of the gifts, which Paul said, so that ye come behind and know gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that all utterance and all knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. So he has taken this. We got to be very careful not to take the word of God based on our own ignorance and assume that it means something just because the Holy Spirit isn't operating through us or that we're not operating under the anointing. And unfortunately, this happens throughout the church and many denominations who don't understand the gifts of the Spirit or who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. All right, that's just one thing. I'm not saying that that's everything. All right, I'm not saying that if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues that God can't operate through you. I'm simply saying that if you've not experienced that and God has not poured out his Holy Spirit upon you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then I'm just saying that it's possible that you're not operating in the other gifts as well. That's what I was trying to say. All right, so let's take a break. If you're not, you know, if you're just tuning into the broadcast, you know, thank you for tuning into Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and we're continuing a 10-part series on gifts of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the word of knowledge, and we're in episode 8. If you'd like to call in with comments or questions, I'll take your calls at 515-602-9613, and you can reach out to me on Facebook and YouTube and type your comments in there as well. It's wbocradio.org. On Facebook, you're going to have to, on YouTube, if you want to look us up there, you're going to have to type in probably WBOC Radio, Words of Knowledge, and my name, Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, Powers. All right, and you can put comments and questions in there as well and let me know where you're from. All right, so an example of the gift of knowledge being used in the early church can be seen in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, which is found in Acts 5, 1 through 10, which I spoke on last Wednesday. So Ananias, I'm just going to refresh your memory here real quick. Ananias and Sapphira was that couple who sold their property in the early church, and they took the money and kept part of it for themselves, which was fine. It was their money. They could have kept all of it, Peter said. But instead, they went in and Peter asked him a question and said, well, it was just Ananias first, and then his wife came in later after he had died. Fell dead, and they buried him before his wife even knew about it. And when she walked in, she lied to the spirit as well, and she fell dead. So Peter says this. He said, Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He wasn't saying that this guy did not fall dead because he kept back part of the land. He's making it quite clear here that he received a word of knowledge, and it let him know that Ananias and Sapphira kept part of the money. But the sin here was that he lied to the Holy Spirit. And you know, the unforgivable sin isn't committing murder. It's not suicide. But the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus even said, you know, say what you want about me, but do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So if God is moving through us, or even trying to move through you, and you curse him, it's an unforgivable sin. And you can't say that, well, I wonder, and trust me, we've all been through this, especially as new Christians who don't know the word of God, but we can't say, well, before I got saved, or before I gave my heart to the Lord, or even during that time, did I ever, you know, blaspheme the Holy Spirit? How do I know? Well, just for the simple fact that you're asking that question and that you even care, I'm sure that you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You would know it because your heart would be hardened and you would have no desire to seek after the Lord. Trust me on this one. So this was a word of knowledge that the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter. All right, so that's what the purpose is in the story of Ananias and Sapphira that I'm telling you today, not about the word of wisdom. But this is a word of knowledge that was given, and he understood this. So there's nothing in the Bible which actually indicates a message of knowledge is meant to reveal where to find something or what sin a person has or what caused a person's disease. But the Spirit can reveal these things according to his own sovereign will. Right, the purposes of this could be for the salvation of the individual. For example, if a family asks you to visit their mother who's in the hospital dying from cancer and you go visit her, and if God speaks a word of knowledge to you about her condition, this can bring about healing if she repents, and most importantly, her salvation. Say, for instance, she has bitterness and hatred in her heart toward a friend, you know, who cheated with her on her husband. He left her and ran off with her friend, but who's dying from cancer? The couple who ran off happily ever after? Or the angry, bitter wife who was left behind? No, this is not about a cheating couple being held accountable right now. It's about the condition of this woman's heart. So don't get me wrong. They'll be held accountable. But the purpose in me telling you that is that if God gives you a word of knowledge to speak over a person, I can assure you he is already prepared their hearts to receive it. They may resist at first and even get angry, but God's the one who they're really angry at and knows how to minister a word in season. So he knows their heart, and he wouldn't reveal that to you if he didn't plan on using it to soften their hearts in order for them to receive him. So all you have to do is open your mouth and let him use you. It doesn't matter the circumstances. You know, these people, you know, I won't get into diseases and things like that right now, but there's all types of things that could be put on us, whether it's cancer, or I've seen and heard stories of people being bent over and crippled by arthritis. And when they released, or when they were released from that spirit of oppression that was brought on to them by either jealousy or bitterness or hatred, resentment, whatever it may be, you know, that open that portal, that door for that spirit to be able to come in. Because remember the story of Israel coming out of the wilderness. They crossed the Jordan River, camped at Gilgal, was circumcised. God gave them Jericho, told them not to touch the accursed thing. Do not take anything for yourselves because it is accursed, to burn it all, even the animals, kill everything, don't take anything. But there was one person in the camp who took something, and it was, I think a shirt and something else, but I can't remember exactly the details of what it was, but you can read that story, and I believe it's in chapter 5 or 7, and it's in Jeremiah, so you can go back and read that. What happened is God delivered them at Jericho, but when they went to take the next city, Ai, it's pronounced I and it's spelled A-I, they went in to take the city, then they were beaten and ran off, and many were killed. So Joshua, he goes up on and throws himself down at the ground on the mountain, and he's crying out to God, and the Lord, pretty much paraphrasing, but this is what he said: get up, there's sin in the camp, what are you whining about? Clear it out. My purpose in telling you that is that God cannot operate in our bodies or be in the presence of sin. And he will not be. If we are the temple of the living God and he dwells in us, then he cannot abide in us if we have hatred and sin in our hearts, especially towards our brothers. That's why the word tells us not to take communion until we have gone and worked things out with our brother and our sister. And I don't mean our literal physical born brother and sister. He's talking about people. We have to work these things out and ask him to forgive them. We can't have these things in us because you're opening that door for the enemy to come in. Just like when one person in the camp, now they were all held accountable for one sin back then, because not each person was responsible for their own sin. They operated as a whole. So there was one person in all of Israel, among thousands of people who sinned and stole from the accursed thing that caused the favor of God. Now remember, it caused the favor of God to lift, but remember, they were being led by the Spirit into battle. So if the Holy Spirit was guiding them, he can no longer lead them and be their champion for them and go before them and fight for them. Just like he can't fight against the enemy and us if we're resisting him with sin in our temple. Same thing. So a word of knowledge can release you from that. Now, it doesn't mean that you're released by receiving that word. It means you're released by letting go of the bitterness and the hate that was prophesied over you through that word of knowledge, telling you that these are the things that's going on, and this is how you have allowed that cancer or that arthritis or that diabetes to come into your body, whatever it may be. Now, I'm not saying that it's all caused from these type of things. There are many other causes, and I'm not here to try to figure them out today. I just want to let you know that a word of knowledge can release us from any type of disease, and most of all, it could bring us salvation. Let's look on here. Once again, I'm going to look at how Jesus increased the loaves of bread, which I talked about in previous episodes as well, and the fish, or when he calmed the wind and the waves with just his spoken word. You know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues may not come with an instruction manual, but the examples of the early church receiving this gift and operating it is near the same, because we could go back and we can look at how, the apostles, the early church, Jesus operated through these gifts, and we have understanding, especially if we ourselves are operating in the Spirit. We don't need to have a definition to understand how a gift of the Spirit works, when it's operating in us. So it's very hard to get someone to understand exactly how the Holy Spirit works when they're looking for definitions. We don't need to have a definition to understand the gift of the Spirit. For that person, you know, who's not operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the person who's under the letter, the person who sees themselves as a great theologian and scholar of the Word of God and needs, you know, to define the operation of the Holy Spirit, I'd say this to you. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, he that believes on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the scripture says, but this spake Jesus of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That scripture is found in John 7, 38 through 39. So I'm telling you, this is what I would say if you're trying to decipher everything on your own and pick apart the Word of God. It's called the letter. Called the letter. The Word of God, you know, needs not be defined by us when the Holy Spirit will guide us through it. The Holy Spirit, we just need to yield to him. So he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And he wants to flow out of you as well. He wants to flow through you. You know, to yield means to give up or to give of yourself, you know, give yourself over. It's to open yourself with an open hand to receive from God. It means you'll have to give up your own ideas and efforts and put yourself in his hands. You'll have to trust him. Personally, I've never contemplated which gift I was operating in when the Lord would speak to me, whether it was a prophetic word, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, or even an interpretation of tongues. What was important is that the word was given. So just to clarify what I'm saying, God can operate through whoever he wants to, in whichever manner he needs to accomplish his purpose, anyone in anyone's life. So if he wants to cause a donkey, you know, to speak to a person, he can. You know, you'll find that story in Numbers 22, 21 through 25 or 35. Just read that and you'll see if you don't think I should be talking here. So here, I'm going to read you an excerpt from my book. But first, if you're just tuning into the broadcast, Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. We're continuing the 10-part series on gifts of the Holy Spirit with the gifts of the Word of Knowledge. So if you'd like to call in with your comments or questions, I'll take your calls at 515-602-9613. You can reach out to me on Facebook and YouTube as well and ask any questions that you have here. But right now, I'm going to read an excerpt from my book, my first book. It's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. It's from Chapter 11, Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it says, a word of knowledge is an unknown word given to an individual of factual events revealed by God. It'll speak to a specific situation or individual to edify, direct, convict, warn, deliver, and bring to repentance. All right, the most exciting word of knowledge ever recorded in the Bible was given to Daniel to prove King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The king wanted evidence the interpretation of his dream was accurate and not given falsely. He demanded the interpretation without revealing the dream. Only God can reveal a word of knowledge to a person as he did Daniel. Not only did God reveal the interpretation of the dream, he revealed King Nebuchadnezzar's dream to him as well. So we have no power apart from the Holy Spirit. When the Lord reveals a word of knowledge, it is a word which could have only been revealed by him. The world would run back to the Lord in repentance if the church earnestly desired this gift. It is a power gift which can expose the deepest secrets of our heart and turn the most corruptible man back to God. The first evangelist recorded in the Bible walked directly into her calling after receiving a word of knowledge. The Samaritan woman was drawing at the well of Jacob when Jesus came upon her asking for water in John 4. Over a simple conversation, he revealed she had five husbands and was currently living with a man out of wedlock. The word of knowledge opened her heart to receive her Messiah and then led her to evangelize the city, which opened the door of salvation to Samaria. And just to pause there real quick, she went through the city saying, come and see a man who told me all that I've done, or something of that. I'm paraphrasing. As we operate in the gifts of the Spirit, we must always keep first and foremost in our minds the message of salvation. We earnestly seek after the best gifts the Spirit can give us, as they will always glorify God and lead others to repentance. For this purpose, we are endowed with power, not to receive glory for ourselves. We are to bring glory to God and salvation to those who will receive. So going back up here to King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, I'm going to just put in a little bit more of my own thoughts there since I was reading that out of my book. Not only was this a word of knowledge, it was given through a dream. So I just want to say that God can give us a word of knowledge in any way that he needs to. He can give us a word of wisdom in any way that he needs to, or however we'll receive it. Whether I have a dream or if my friend has a dream, whoever it is, God can bring that to us. And if you have the gift of prophecy or interpretation of the word or any of these things, then you'll be able to understand exactly what it is that God's trying to speak to you, especially through these dreams. So in the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, he gave the translation to Daniel because King Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill everyone, all the so-called soothsayers and stuff like that in his kingdom. And so this one guy says, let me go find this guy who can tell us, he's the only one that can do it. And it was Daniel, who can tell us your dream and give us the interpretation. So they went and got Daniel and brought him back. And he said, give me a day or whatever. And so the king did. And that night, because he wanted to go and pray. And I think he went and asked others to pray as well. I haven't read the story in a little while. I'm a little rusty on it, but this is how it goes. And you can go back and read it for yourselves if you need to. But he was went and prayed, and God had given him a dream, showed him Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and then gave him the interpretation. I don't think it was a good one, even though Nebuchadnezzar did, but as long as he was okay, he was good with that. He didn't care about his offsprings or his children or what would happen to his kingdom after he was gone, just as long as he was taken care of. But where I want to get to now is the second word of knowledge that was given to the Samaritan woman. Now, what happened with her, I'm just going to tell you her story real quick, is she went to the well and she was drawing water, and Jesus asked for water from her. But Jesus wasn't supposed to be speaking to her because she was considered unclean. She was a Samaritan, and Jesus was a Jew and a rabbi at that. His apostles had gone off to go get him some food, and he sat there, asked for water, and she's like, well, why are you asking me for water? And so he began to talk, and he revealed to her through a word of knowledge that he knew through the Holy Spirit, just like we do, because he came in the flesh, the same as we're in the flesh. I mean, I didn't have an immaculate conception by no means. I'm just saying that he was a human being in the flesh, and he was the flesh of the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just like we are a soul, a spirit, and a body. Jesus was the body of the three because they are one. And he says, I and the Father are one. So if he's the part of the Father, and we know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, they are one. So if anybody asks you how it is that one doesn't know what the other's talking about, or why is it that Jesus, which I'm going to get into in the mystery of the Ketubah when we start to study that next year in January, but how is it that Jesus would say that the nobody knows the day or the hour, only the Father in heaven, not even the Son? Well, if they're one, people like to say, how is it that Jesus doesn't know when, you know, he'll return? And it's because he is the flesh. God is the soul of the triune. And the spirit, obviously, is the spirit. The Holy Ghost is the spirit. So if y'all have any questions right now, we're going to be wrapping this up. I want to spend some time letting you know what's going to be going on next year. And I want you to understand that, you know, all the gifts, I only have two more parts left, which is the working of miracles and the gifts of heal. The gifts, notice I say gifts of healing, to talk about. And then on Thursday, we will be closing with a special episode, a Christmas episode. And what I'm going to go into there are talking about Christmas and the origins of Christmas and the birth of Christ and when he was born and things of that nature. So I'm going to just close in prayer today. And I want you to make sure that you understand that this broadcast is about the message. It's about the word of God. It's about ministering to the souls out there. And I'm not going to despise my small beginnings. I'm not going to despise the sun shining on my face right now and blinding you in the camera, or the blinds behind me, or me messing with my face and all that. As long as you hear the word and you understand that we need to be able to spread the gospel message to the ends of the earth. And this is what I've been called to do. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you would go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. I want people to understand when I speak the word of God that not only is it through the anointing, but it's also, you know, it's ordained by the Lord that I speak, because he's called me and I can't hold it in, and I've got to share it with you. So dear Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will open the ears of these people to hear your word and open their eyes, Lord, that they may see you. I pray that you begin to move in supernatural ways, Father, that you will move upon them and open their mind and speak to them so that they will be able to receive it, that they will be able to spread the word. I pray especially right now, Lord, for the peace of Israel, and in the peace of Jerusalem and in the United States. I pray especially right now for the election that is coming up, Lord, that it's sooner than later, and that all the things that are being said and the rhetoric that is being spoken, Father, I pray that you just guide people in wisdom, that you will speak to them through words of knowledge, and that you will move upon their spirit so that they are able to you know, to hear the truth and to receive the truth and be able to interpret the truth as you have revealed it to them in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our families this year, that you will bless them, Lord, that you will minister to them, and that you will keep them, that let your will be done in their lives, that we will be lifted up, and everything that the canker worm has destroyed and the locust has eaten, everything that the palmer worm has taken from us, Father. I pray that you will restore it a thousandfold. Yes, Lord, I'm saying a thousandfold in the name of Jesus, that you will take everything back that the enemy has stolen, because he has to give it back to us. He cannot hold on to it. And I pray, Lord, that you will just move upon these people in the name of Jesus, and that you will lift them up, Lord, that you will encourage them this season. And I pray most of all, Lord, for their health, that they are able to get a foundation underneath them, and that they will understand that you have their best interest at heart, that you, Father, want to heal them, that you want to see them delivered from their circumstances, from their bitterness, from their jealousy. If there's anybody out there, Lord, that has hatred in their heart, I pray that you reveal this to them, that they would ask forgiveness, Lord, not just from you, Lord, but they're able to grow and be established in your word and know that they walk in power and authority the same as you did when you were on this earth. I pray that you move upon them in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for this. I pray, Lord, that you will lift them up out of their circumstances, that you will lift them up out of that pit, out of the miry clay, and set their feet upon a rock and establish their goings and put a new song in their mouth, even praise to you, Father. I ask that you move upon the masses, Lord, that you draw them in, and that you give us the increase in the name of Jesus. I thank you for this, and I pray, Father, again, for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem and the United States, that the peace treaty that President Trump is trying to negotiate in the Middle East, Lord, that you will have your way, that we will see the new dispensation ushered in, and we will get to experience the wedding supper of the Lamb, Lord. But I want to take as many people with me as I can in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Father, that you will move upon them, that you will draw them in, that you will soften the hearts of those in Israel in the name of Jesus, and all those across the nations, that you will draw them in and soften their hearts to listen to the word, that you will put this word in places that no one would have ever found it or even been looking for it, Lord, and they will stumble upon it, and they will hear your word spoken, and I will be able to be used, Lord, for your glory, but not for mine, but for your glory. And everything that I have, Lord, I hand over to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you use it, and all those that are listening right now in the name of Jesus, that you're able to use them. In Jesus' name I pray, and we thank you for this, and we thank you for the increase in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm not going to drag this out today. I'm going to wrap it up, and remember to tune in to a future broadcast and follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Also, if you are going to listen to blogtalkradio.com, you can go to, just put in / WBOC. So I don't want you to miss any upcoming broadcasts. So don't forget to tune in to the upcoming series of Mystery of the Ketubah at the beginning of the year. All right, so I will be back on the air next week on Monday, Wednesday, and a special episode on Thursday. So I can be reached also at talk@wbocradio.org or 931-563-3377. And you can write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio, and I'll be back on the air again Monday, December 17th, 2018. And don't forget to tune in to our Christmas special again on Thursday, December 13th. Those are the dates. And we'll discuss the history of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and when he was more likely to be born. And it sure wasn't December 25th, but that's okay, as long as we celebrate his birth in the right way. So it will be enlightening. Starting January 7th, I'll go to 5 days a week when we begin the discussion on Mysteries of the Ketubah. So thank you for tuning in. And remember, you are the Bride of Christ. Amen.